We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Gresh and Keith
on WEEI.
12:01, and it's a Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time for Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston with us each and every Tuesday here on Gresh and Keith. Tommy is sponsored by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. By Awaken 180 Weight Loss, become your own success story by dropping the weight holding you back. It starts with just one call to Awaken 180. And by Unified Office, where they help businesses maximize every incoming call at unifiedoffice.com. To the Harbor One hotline we go. Tommy Curran, good afternoon. How are you, friend?
What's up, buddy boy?
Well, we're trying to rationalize what in the world could be going on with this Patriots offense. It had a pulse. When they protected Mac, it was okay. Run game was a little inconsistent, but my God, the negative plays, the inefficiency on first down, and then helpless on third down. Tommy, I think we got to go back to the 90s to really think about a Patriots team that has been so helpless on third down. What did you make of the performance against the Jets?
It kind of underscored to me that when we're looking for what the smoking gun evidence, where did the fire start? It really didn't start with Mac Jones. I mean, when you look at the guy was able to plant his feet, go 23 for 27 for 246, taking six sacks for 48 yards and losses. Why is he taking those sacks? And why are his numbers up? Because they said, don't put the ball in harm's way. We're not good enough offensively to score. So just take the sack. Unfortunately, he wasn't even taking sacks out of volition. It got to him that quickly. He is, I hate to be such an apologist. I know on the next show they call me, the law firm of, the defense lawyer for Mac Jones. But he is the least of their problems. I'm not sure he's the answer to all their problems going forward for great success, but he is not your root cause.
Bigger issue right now, offensive line or the play calling?
Offensive line, and I think that's by a lot. It's not just, I mean, we still don't have clarification on why Trent Brown wasn't out there to start the game. We have speculation that maybe he was sick. Well, you should be on the injury report if you're not out there at the outset of practice on Friday, as he was not, and you were ill. So that's purely speculation, and Bill Belichick hasn't really done anything to indicate that he was ill. Now, is Bill not indicating that he was ill because he doesn't want to seem as if he played around with the injury report, or because he was sat down because of a litany of, whether it be discipline, tardiness, whatever, disengagement? To me, that's a big problem. Your best and most dominating offensive lineman had to sit the beginning of the game for either an undisclosed illness or because he wasn't engaged. The left guard, it's not been great for Cole Strange, but it was at least better this week. Now David Andrews is down, and we know what Isaiah Wynn and Yodney Kajust have put out there for you. So it's the offensive line to begin with, and that, again, goes back to another common denominator, and I know I'm rolling downhill here with a lot of words, but Matt Patricia's in charge of both.
Right, exactly. Right. Tommy, David Andrews is out there, at least for the media portion of practice. Is there a chance this guy plays?
I haven't spoken directly to David. You know, I know Scott Zolak, the color individual from the other radio station, signaled that there was a possibility that might happen. We'll see. I think if we get those kind of ominous initial reports, having him out there at practice to wander around as Mac did a little bit during his convalescence might make it just a ruse. But, you know, we'll see. Let me give you one other stat here. I put this in a story. The Patriots have had 64 drives this season get to the 50 or better. They have 186 points. So that's less than 3 points per drive. They've 25 times in the past four games, they've been to the 50 or better. They have four touchdowns and 10 field goals. That's insanely inept.
Yeah,
all that work. I want it out there.
And I'm not saying again. This is information that you looked up. It needs to be mentioned. But this obviously isn't the 2000 Ravens defense. I'm not suggesting it is, but it does have a similar vibe where if you don't get a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, or a turnover where they give you the ball on the 2 yard line, it feels like you're not going to score. Like it's not going to be good enough to win. And yet at the same time, watching the Patriots-Jets game on Sunday, those are two teams that at that time were both playoff teams. So the league is in such a state now where as bad as the Patriots' offense is, the defense seems to be pretty good, where they're kind of right in the middle of things. And like right now they're kind of a playoff team, which again, I think it speaks more to the state of the league than it does really to the state of the team.
Yeah, and there's a 3,000-word story to be written on the reasons for offenses that are bad staying bad. And it would be, for instance, in the Jets' case, constant churn at the quarterback position to try and find the right answer. In the Patriots' situation, it's an outlier. They haven't got good offensive line coaching since Dante Scarnecchia left. They have not replaced sufficiently an outstanding offensive coordinator, and all you have to do is look at the yardage and results from last year compared to this year for proof of that. And, you know, but generally speaking, offensive line play is down because teams spend less time. So there's more quarterbacks under siege. Defenses are faster. So the way to beat them isn't by chip, chip, chipping away. It's trying to throw it over their head, and the Patriots can't do that right now. So it's a litany of reasons, but it does mean you watch a lot of difficult to swallow football, to put it nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy, do you think that the league's defenses have kind of readjusted and have caught up to where most of the offenses have gone? Defense looks different now. Feels like it's the interior guys and the pass rushers and then a bunch of dudes who can cover on the back end. We had a period of time where offenses were riding high. Is a part of this sort of what we just talked about and lumping in the Patriots and being 6-4 and still a playoff team? Is that because the league is shifting back again and we got to go through another offensive renaissance? Like, how do you view that across the board?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Phil Perry and I had a conversation about this, and he brought up that he thinks Bill might have been late to the party on zagging to the spread or to the wide zone stuff that Shanahan and McVay and everyone else made in vogue. You know, the Patriots in 2018, as teams were starting to do that and get smaller at the linebacker position, they kept their fullback and the Patriots rototilled through teams and did what they did. Now as they pivot, they jettison their fullback, they want to be tight end heavy, and they're realizing that defenses are too fast if you don't have one dynamic player to attract an immense amount of attention. Defensive ends are unblockable, whether it's Matt Judon or, you know, whoever you want to mention. Every team has virtually at least one of them, plus they can scheme up and loop. And they're getting smaller and faster and faster and faster. And these offenses, as we see scoring go down, the Patriots have their most success when they do what they did in 2018, when they do what they did last year. Run it right at the heart of a defense and try and make safeties come up and stop your backs. Be a big team, not a finesse team. And the Patriots actually were pivoting towards finesse this year, and it hasn't worked. Now they're caught betwixt and between saying, we're still kind of a gap-running team. We're not a wide-zone team. Yeah, so let's run some gap. But we don't have our fullback. I know.
Are you ready to call this a legit defense, or is it just Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger, Mitch Trubisky, Jared Goff, Jacoby Brissett, and they've been able to capitalize on bad either backup or soon-to-be backup quarterbacks?
No, it's more legitimate than the 2021 edition. That 2019 team that had a defensive player of the year at Stephon Gilmore, that was a legitimately good defense, even though it faded toward the end of that season. This one, too, I think is legitimate because of the secondary play, the depth of the secondary play. It's not built around, you know, just a dynamic shutdown corner, Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty. It's built around depth and interchangeability there. Plus, I don't remember, Gresh, you talked about you have to go back to the 90s. You might have to go back to the 80s and Andre Tippett to find as dominant a singular pass rusher unleashed by the Patriots as Matt Judon has been this year.
I don't think you even think it's debatable, quite honestly.
Jones was good, but
he would hit like 13. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. And they never turned him loose.
No, not like this.
They were still like two gapping, at least a little bit anyway, and still having to rush the quarterback. Tommy, how do you view the Vikings? They give up sacks, they give up passing yards, yet they got a really good record. What do you make of them?
They are very much like the Patriots in a ton of ways. They give up sacks, as you pointed out. They have one dynamic player in Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook is basically a mirror image of Ramondre Stevenson. Cook is third in the NFL in yards after contact. Stevenson excels at that, too. They have two good tight ends in Hockenson and Irv Smith, and they have a better two, most likely, in Adam Thielen, but his production's been off this year. It's going to be a jailbreak for the Vikings on Thursday. Christian Darrisaw, their left tackle, will be down, so that means the Patriots will continue to bring their pressure. And Kirk Cousins under pressure means he's going to check it down. So you're going to see probably the Patriots defense have a good day. And then on the flip side, the Vikings are fast as hell. And the Patriots against fast defenses have really struggled. So they are they have 59 tackles for loss this season. They are sideline to sideline pursuit team. So as much as the Patriots need to prove something, the Vikings do too. They're 8-2, and they have signature wins over the Dolphins and the Bills. But to get blasted the way they did the other day by Dallas, which brought heat the way the Patriots have the capability of, they're in very much the, are we really as good as our record says we are, mode.
Now, I don't really count former players that go on to be coaches as Bill Belichick's coaching tree. Some people do. I don't. But, you know, the coaching tree has had a good record against Bill. Mike Vrabel has had a good coaching record. Do you think the same thing will apply to Kevin O'Connell on Thursday?
I don't. I don't. I really think that if you look, the Patriots are 6-4, 7 games left. There are 5 on paper losses on the schedule. Objectively speaking, by record and by resume, past resume. The Bills twice, the Dolphins once, the Vikings, and Cincy, which was your AFC Championship finalist. Give them a half. So there's 4.5 losses. The Patriots have to flip a game. And I think this might be an outstanding chance for them to flip a game and win one you don't expect them to. I think the Patriots can go to Minnesota against a defense that's not as good as what they've seen in the last 3 weeks against the Jets twice and the Indianapolis Colts and flip that game.
One of the big stories coming out of the weekend's game against the Jets was Zach Wilson's not only his poor performance, but then how he followed it up in the post game. And then yesterday, Robert Saleh not committing to him. What do you think happens there? And what would you do, Tom, if you're the Jets who are 6-4 and kind of like the Patriots, they're like, hey, why not us as a playoff team? Number 2 overall pick from a year ago. He's got 20 starts under his belt. What do you think the future is for Zach Wilson for the rest of this season anyway?
I would say it's Flacco time. Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy. And I think it has more to do with him off
instead
the field.
Instead of Mike White.
Yeah. No, I mean, Flacco's the guy that was there for the first, what, 3 games of the year.
Yep,
so
because Wilson was hurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they went with him, and then you hear about Mike White, but, I mean, doesn't it feel like that Robert Saleh's trying to manage his locker room, Tom?
Yeah, so go to the adult, go to the guy who's 36, 37 years old with a litany of big game experience, who shows maturity, who understands how to, even if he doesn't believe it. See, I think Zach Wilson says stuff at the podium that he doesn't understand isn't just going to be directed at the question that he doesn't like. He didn't like that question the other day, so he said no. But I think that he had already acknowledged that they weren't good enough a number of times in that press conference. But he doesn't understand that people are going to run with that.
Right.
So you can't lose your patience. Answer it the same way every time. Starts with me. Starts with me. Starts mm-hmm. with me. Starts with me. And then move on. Put Flacco in there. Ride him. Let the kid understand this is how you behave. It's not just being an arm talent situation. How you comport yourself is going to impact the rest of the locker room. Because, I mean, they're losing their rookie wide receiver over this in terms of connectedness with the quarterback. It looks like an AAU game out there with that kid in charge.
Yeah, it's not great. But then again, number two pick in the draft. Like, you kind of
AAU basketball, like a mopey little AAU basketball kid.
He does have that.
That's a good analogy. Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, have a great Thanksgiving. I know we'll talk to you on WEEI Football Sunday. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Fresh, we're going steaks on Thursday.
Are you really?
Steaks?
Wow. Yeah.
Turkey steaks?
We'll talk about it next week.
All right. Yeah, we'll need a full breakdown on that.
Wait a minute. What kind here are we talking? Are we going like filet, going ribeye, going New York strip?
I'm
going
to be a ribeye. I have to take the further orders from the rest of the kids. They're probably going to be New York strip. I'm going to be ribeye.
Don't you hate that? I cannot get my kids to buy into the ribeye at all. They won't do it. It's crazy.
But which deprives me of the question that I always want to ask is, you want your fat?
Chris Scheim asks that every day. Tom, thank you, friend. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Wow, Tommy going full-blown steak.
Those steaks.
Yeah, the ribeye's the way to go.
I'll just eat the turkey. It's Thanksgiving.
Well, no, I was going to. Plus, I'm sure
crazy.
If someone dropped a New York strip or a filet or a ribeye on your plate, I don't think you'd be picky.
I'd probably eat it. Yeah, I'll eat whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're simple on that end.
As you notice, whatever they bring in for food here, I demolish it no matter what. Yeah.
I know they brought in three portions of quesadillas, think it was, right?
Never had a chance.
Nope. No. In fact, you were eating and arguing with John at the same time.
Pretty good.
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty productive.
I gotta say. Yeah, right. You had a good day. No sad day, bad day.
Nope. Good day, great day.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Insta at Gresh Keefe.
Saka's one-time last save, and a goal by freshly stitched Nick Foligno. And Quell signals goal and the wave out.
Whoa, they're going to have to.
They're going to review it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
After video review, the puck did, in fact, cross the goal line prior to the net being dislodged. Therefore, we have a goal.
Marchand to DeBrusque. Marchand scores! A pop-up deflection, and Marchand fielded the bouncer and Patrice Bergeron. 1,000 points for a one-in-a-million player.
McAvoy into the corner. Jake DeBrusque goes right to goal. Pastrnak scores!
I would prefer to think of Patrice Bergeron as one in a billion, but that's okay, Jack Edwards.
20 trillion, billion,
60s, trillion
dollars.
Money
dollars.
Patrice
billion 200 billion dollars.
That's right. That just in from Sam Kennedy's desk on the latest offer to the Red Sox players.
But very good.
Patrice Bergeron with his 1,000th point. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different goal scorers, two power play goals. Bruins dominated the second period. They were up 5-1 in the third. 5-3 was the final. And this is supposed to be, and truthfully is, the beginning of what was to be a very tough stretch for the Bruins. and they kind of made it look easy last night.
Yeah, they really did. And I think, once again, their formula of anybody can score, like anybody can get on the, you know, light up the box score. 12 different guys had a point yesterday.
It's crazy.
Which is nuts. And a couple of power play goals mixed in. More good play from Linus Ullmark, who is having, if not the best season for goalies. He's like in the top three. He's going to be, like, he's on pace to be a finalist.
And almost the quarter pole. He is, he should be right now. If it was the whole, if they were done today, he'd be as in a finalist.
He's been nasty and the team rolls on. And I think, easy to get motivated and to play up for these games where it's Tampa, it's Florida, it's Carolina, it's Colorado, and then not to mention Bruce Cassidy in Vegas coming up as well.
That's going
to
be so great.
So they were cruising for a while, and even games where they weren't playing very good, they were still winning, which is always the sign of a really good team in any sport, right? You didn't play your best, still won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't play, you played kind of not great against Philly, 4-1 final. So they're rolling. You're starting to step up in the competition, and still they're winning games. 17-2 is just silly. And 11-0 at home. It's just having it be a place where teams go and die.
Yeah.
Like you have the chokehold on them there. So, yeah, hard to really complain. And Montgomery's been, he's put in his, you know, tweaks to hit with his system, and
his stamp of approval is on this team.
Which is funny that there wasn't any kind of slow start or issues with that, or like miscues, or like guys sort of adjusting to it. It's like, nope, they just kind of hit the ground running and went with it. He's jumbling lines around. He's trying to find the right line combinations, the right pairings, and all that. And yet it's worked. And you think about all the missed games they had too at the beginning of the year. McAvoy missed a pile of games. Marchand missed a bunch of games. Then Krejci's out of the lineup. Like, they've only had probably a handful of games with their entire squad, and yet they're 17-2.
It's pretty amazing. And then on the other side of the street, you got the Celtics, who lose to the Bulls.
Yeah.
121-107. The Celtics have four losses this year, two to the Cavs and two to the Chicago Bulls. I don't know what to make of that.
I don't really get it either. Yeah, you eliminate them, they're undefeated. Like, those
two. Ladies and gentlemen, a team that we can beat. The Boston Celtics!
Yeah, it's good that they're not in the Central Division, I suppose. Because
Well, that is true.
Some tough teams there, but they have a lengthy homestand coming up, the Celtics do.
Yes.
They have a whole pile of games at home starting tomorrow with Dallas. You get a chance to take a look at Luka.
Oh, that's right. We get it's a battle of MVP candidates, is it not?
You got two of the top guys.
Luka and Tatum. And then on Friday, the Kings come to town. And I know I'd pick the Kings tonight, but
scored a lot of points.
They're on a hot streak right now. I think it's like either six or seven in a row. In terms of, and like you said, they're just the defense, fine, whatever. They're scoring points, great. Celtics will be up to the challenge. We need to score 140, fine. The Jays will go for 80 combined. They'll get it done.
Yeah, they got kind of like a fun team all of a sudden. You know, they got
Sacramento
does. Yeah, I mean, De'Aaron Fox, they made that trade. I didn't really like the trade because I like Halliburton a lot, but Sabonis has played really well for them. They got Kevin Huerter, who would have been good here. He's knocking down all his threes.
Him like compared to Sam Hauser, I would probably buy it a little more.
Although one guy is much cheaper than the other.
Well, so there is that.
They're getting something out of
it. I do like
Hauser.
Value, like you.
You do? Oh, I'm all about it, in fact.
And on Sunday, we get on Sunday night, we get our first look at the Wiz, I do believe, or at least.
No, they beat him earlier in the year.
Did they get him earlier in the year? Was it on the road,
much
maybe?
Earlier. It might have been.
Well, yeah. I was waiting for, I was leading to the let the Bradley Beal jokes come flying in, or Bradley Beal on Monday.
How about that?
Boy, I can't get that guy.
If you were tracking, like maybe a couple years ago was probably the high watermark for Bradley Beal trade rumors. Mm-hmm. Remember, like his name was brought up all the time. It's been a while since. It's been crickets. Probably right after last deadline, it was forget about it. Like, nobody's bringing up Bradley Beal anymore. The Celtics are better off with what they have. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Very true. It was end of October. It looked like on October 20 or 29th or 30th.
Yeah, they beat
them. Jaylen Brown had 24. Beal struggled in that game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. Like, it had normally been, oh, when can we get Bradley Beal? Now it's F Bradley Beal.
No, good. Kind of just
Brogdon
like,
does that for you, doesn't it?
You got Brogdon, but then also both Tatum and Brown are even better than they were back when we were having those discussions. And now it's just really the big question with the Celtics is Robert Williams going to be healthy? And if so, When and how long will he be able to stay?
Doesn't it feel like if you could get Time Lord for the last 20 of the regular season and then have him right for the playoffs, that you'd sign up for that right now?
Yeah, because you definitely want to get him kind of worked in there a little bit and play so it's not just thrown into when games matter. But, yeah, if they have him, it's hard to find really any missing pieces. You know, like everything's kind of checked. Because I think Hauser's at least allowed you to have a guy off the bench and sort of take on that Danilo Gallinari role where you're expecting him just to come in, knock down threes, maybe not be the best defensively, but whatever, hit open threes. Well, you have that now. And so they got a pretty good rotation going.
Before we get to Madness, Stork Podcast up right now, WEEI.com. Yes, what'd you guys hit last night?
Star Wars Tales of the Jedi was a Disney Plus series. So Davey and I discussed that amongst some other things last night. Pretty good.
Very good.
You gonna
now,
catch that one, Gresh?
What's that?
You gonna catch that one? Tales of the Jedi?
Yeah, Gresh is all over it.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Knock it out in an hour and a half. It's a short one.
It's quick.
Great.
It's short. Yeah.
I was going to.
Next week, we're going to do Andor, another Star Wars series. Have you seen any Star Wars? Did you watch the original trilogy?
Nah.
Really? Missed that.
Nah.
This could be some TikTok content for you, actually, where it's like your live reaction to certain scenes. Like you film yourself watching it.
Oh, yeah. That's what Gresh is going to do. He's going to go home and do reaction videos.
Well, you know what? I think I might be getting a new phone for Christmas, so I might be able to shoot some to where it's not like either wavy when I go to the phone.
Yeah.
Like my iPhone SE or 7 or whatever this is, if when I go to take a picture, it's wavy. It's the weirdest thing ever.
It's like the mirrors that make you look skinny.
You know what, though? But I've gotten full double value on the price of this phone, which means I can finally now get rid of it.
Because I'm all about value.
Yeah,
I am.
I don't. There's no need to just upgrade the new phone every year so I could take photos.
No,
it's like,
I'm not that guy.
What's the big deal? All right. Anyway, I had a witty way to get the madness, but now it's all blown up. So here's madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
Come watch me eat an entire rotisserie chicken. Look him up. Google him.
We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Ignore the turkeys. Hopefully they'll ignore you.
That's right. Time for the madness. And this is one where it truly might be worlds colliding. This, I feel like, involves both Andy Gresh and John Anderson.
Oh,
potentially could be a story. Potentially a little bit of overlap.
Taylor Swift have a piece of chicken?
I was going to say, what do we have?
She made a steak.
We have an ant with an IBS problem.
It's not a story about, well, kind of. No,
you ruined it.
It does not involve Taylor Swift. That I can promise the listener.
I'll tell you
the
what
listener, go nowhere. We're not going to mention Taylor Swift.
If it's my Aunt Candy with that caboose, there's a lot of problems. Let's put it that way.
It could be Aunt Candy.
I mean,
it does take place in Texas. I know that doesn't really apply to either one of you.
I'm
but
sure
the
there's aggression in Texas somewhere.
There's got to be a couple of aggression in Texas.
I would think so. It's a gun-toting
portal. All my Greshes live in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not terrible,
not
John.
Bad.
Not terrible. All right, let's go down to the great state of Texas and KXAN-TV.
Well, just what could cause a toilet to explode?
We're off to a great start.
Hold on. You got a minute? Drop the music.
Yeah, like, where do I begin?
It might be a big person. It might be somebody's got a bum full of something.
It is Thanksgiving. People do tend to overeat around Thanksgiving. That
snakes
is a little bit of a
and
problem.
Turlets?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, just what could cause a toilet to explode? I know, but it's a question leaving some people scratching their heads in South Austin. Staff said they knew something was up when they showed up to Circle C Dental on Tuesday morning.
Circle C Dental. So it was at a dentist office. As soon as I saw the story, I was like, and you know what the craziest thing was? I went to the dentist yesterday. Of course, one of my crippling fears, but thankfully went in and out. It was okay. I was sitting in the waiting room and I found this story about somebody destroying a toilet at a dentist's office.
For the record,
yes.
Since all the times that I've had this year of having to go to Dr. Coletti and to go see him, they do have a hopper that's just on the inside. I did like a triple flush once to make sure that there was no odor coming out of there. Like I couldn't have done.
All
like
the
it was,
flushes
I was literally
in the world,
holding
though.
It down and just be like, just take it right.
But then
down.
The people outside hear the triple yeah. flush.
No,
too,
no, no,
they
no, 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 no.
Right there, sir.
Nah, I'm in there at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's either me, or my dentist, like 78. Yeah. Imagine how many times he's gone in there and fired that thing up.
Just brushing my teeth. I'll be right out.
Oh yeah. Oh, you got to do the whole second floss. You do the COVID thing where it's like you got to rinse and all that. Wash your hands and wash. Your hands again. Yeah. They don't cover you. You got enough TP in there.
Staff said they knew something was up when they showed up to Circle C Dental on Tuesday morning. They followed the bad smell.
They followed their nose right to the toilet.
Follow your nose.
Like something's up. Like if you see, that's where I differ from those people.
That's a bad tooth, buddy.
If we walk down, if we walk down the hallway today, say I walk down the hallway in our place
you'd
of business,
you bump into everyone.
That's true. Yeah, this place is packed today. But say I smelled something coming from the bathroom. Guess where I wouldn't go?
Into the bathroom.
The bathroom. I'd be like, oh, wait, I gotta check that out.
Well, someone that works there has gotta check it out, though, don't they?
Yeah, no, I mean, not.
Curtis is in Florida this week, so bathroom's been good all week.
Oh, that's true.
But if you're
true.
Like, say you're a dental hygienist or you are the receptionist,
okay.
Is it your job to go kicking down the bathroom to make sure someone didn't get sick?
Well, you know,
no.
Somebody's got to do it.
I know. Well,
you can't wait all day.
Sure, you can.
Get Mike Rowe on the horn.
I would just put a sign up out of order. Put the sign. Don't worry about it. Let this puppy air out a little bit. That's all.
They followed the bad smell to their bathroom and they found a smashed and somewhat melted stub where the toilet used to be.
Is that hot?
They just, somebody melted down this toilet. It's like the worst thing that could happen. Somebody destroyed, like the human torch went in there.
Sorry, I had lava for breakfast.
Yeah, basically. Basically, the guy went in there.
Guy goes to get off the throne. The seat lifts up with him. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
This is a problem. And then he just smashes the toilet to pieces.
Jolene, I need somebody come in here and peel this toilet seat off my bum.
Our toilet was exploded. It was black.
Our toilet was exploded.
Was exploded? Apparently, that's a low education threshold. Can you scrape the tartar? Yep, I can do it. Great.
Texas.
You don't need English.
No.
Our toilet was exploded. It was black. Looking up at the ceiling where the vent fan should have been, there was just a black hole.
What the world? So wait a minute. Did somebody on the other end of their septic tank make it work backwards and fire that thing up into the
might
sun?
Have reverse flush?
Yeah,
reverse might, flush. Might have been.
I had no answers, just a lot of questions.
Well, I mean, and I was holding it in. I really had to go. I didn't know what to do.
She's like, it definitely wasn't me. I was the one who found it, but for sure it wasn't me.
You know there's that one person in every office that if a toilet exploded, you'd be like, I can narrow down to three who would do it.
But you also can't.
We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Person's covered in like soot and like when they're soaking wet. Come on. Somebody must have ran out of here. They used our bathroom. They're like, man, you are covered in it. We think it may be you.
Now we know why Shime has a change of clothes in his car.
And look at these images. The Austin Fire Department came to investigate. Their theory is that the ceiling vent overheated, set on fire, dropped onto the toilet seat, which started to burn, cracking the ceramic bowl. Now, the dental office staff.
The lady's like, yep, that's definitely what happened. That's for sure what happened. It was the vent fan that caught on fire and landed on the toilet. It had nothing to do with me ruining it from a big lunch. Who was that? It was what the firefighter said. Take him at his word for it. I agree with him. Let's never talk about this again.
Jennifer, cross that barbecue place off that we got from yesterday.
It was a good deal, though. We had a good deal.
Had another theory. They found a news story of a toilet out of Oklahoma that suffered a similar fate after lightning struck an apartment building.
Yeah, now it's a lightning strike.
Stop it.
Oh, yep, yep. Also, maybe a lightning strike. I like that one, too. It was a lightning strike. It had nothing to do with me coming into work early.
What a great excuse, though.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't mess that up. The building got hit by lightning.
Probably a lightning strike.
Oh.
And the lightning struck the toilet.
Sir, bend over. Can you shoot lightning out your...
The logistics aren't great on this.
Traveling through the exhaust vent and hitting that toilet. So the plot thickens here.
The lightning traveled through the vent.
What are you doing?
The lightning pulled like the greatest heist of all time.
Who are the police in Oklahoma there to be like, you know, hey, I got this thing. I got it all figured out.
The two other theories, of course, were aliens and ghosts.
You know
For
what?
Sure not me, though.
If they said a Sasquatch went in there and ripped up that toilet, I might believe
it. No, that would have been a good one.
Sasquatch might have blew that thing up.
I would have believed that more than anything else.
A Bigfoot killed those guys.
Yeah, we got it. And that toilet.
A Bigfoot killed that bowl.
There was just a black hole.
Right.
So the plot thickens here.
It does. It does. So I guess we still don't really know what happened to the toilet at the dental office in Texas, but... There you go. There's some working theories.
Doc, I got this tooth in the back. It seems to be a little pussy. Maybe stinks a little bit. Maybe like, wait a minute. Is that you or is that the toilet in there?
I'm going to go in there and see what this is.
Now, here's the real question.
Yeah.
You're a dentist. You have a great office.
The best.
You got a great porcelain throne.
Yeah.
And then you got to go in there and work all day with all these different people. And you got to like, where are you going? Where are you going to the hopper?
You can't go there.
No.
Now, if you, maybe you have your own in your office, if you're that big time.
Maybe.
Nah, you probably
But you
gotta,
can't let everybody in there.
You got to go home, I guess.
Oh, that is terrible. So if it's number one, go to the woods out back. Number two, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
You're on your own.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, if anybody's got any good toilet stories, 37937, send them along.
Let us know.
And we'll get to waiver wire ads next.
Well, just what could cause the toilet to explode? They followed the bad smell to their bathroom.
Our toilet was exploded. I had no answers, just a lot of questions.
WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original. You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI
and streaming on WEEI.com.
Keith's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta sit, gotta let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, gonna win your league. But you gotta listen to Rich Keith in the fantasy breeze. Rich Keith is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolfe for the fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook while Keith keeps gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire? So your lineup game is on fire. Put him on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keith and the fantasy brief.
Waiver Wire Ads is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Keith, what do we got?
Here we go. We're going into week 12. So
it's going fast.
Most leagues, it's down to 3 weeks left of the regular season. Then you'll have a three-week playoff run, and then everybody takes the last week off if you're being smart about it.
So if you're in a well-run league, you do not play in week 18.
Correct. I believe we are done with the byes. I think everybody's back.
No, there's two more weeks of it, but they just skipped Thanksgiving because, I guess they don't want any player to enjoy Thanksgiving. So
yeah,
no team has a bye on Thanksgiving.
God forbid you have this weekend off.
So next week, the Cardinals and the Panthers are on the bye.
Okay. And I think there's like six teams in week 14,
and then,
too.
And
another, or it might be four or six.
Week 14, it's Falcons, Packers, Saints, Bears, Colts, Commanders.
Well, you know what? It probably makes sense also because you have three games on Thursday, so you don't want too light of a slate on Sunday.
Bingo.
So if you had another two games missing because of buys. So anyway, this weekend, full comment, everybody is playing in week 12. Let's leave it at that. Five pickups for you. Let's start with a running back, Samaje Perine of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, I don't think he'll ever have three receiving touchdowns ever again.
No.
But he was the clear backup there. He was a good handcuff to Joe Mixon. He had started to get a few touches anyway, and Joe Mixon left Sunday's game with a concussion. So I like Perine, but you got to monitor Mixon's status. Either it could be a really good play or maybe wait and see on Mixon. But I think worth adding to your roster anyway.
Make sure to Perine your turkey to make it nice and moist. Dad gets a dad joke look.
No, it's great. Another running back, Latavius Murray, still surprisingly available in a lot of leagues.
Well, the Broncos.
The Broncos stink, but they just cut Melvin Gordon and Chase Edmonds got hurt.
Yep.
So all of a sudden it went from, they got three different guys in the backfield to just Latavius Murray. So I know the offense doesn't do a whole lot, but he appears to be the number one back. So just double check to see if Latavius Murray is available.
I like it.
Another guy we gave you a couple of weeks ago in pickups, but the Tampa Bay Bucks are coming off of a bye, and he's still available in more leagues than he's not. Running back Rashad White, 22 carries over 100 yards in his last game. It seems like the trend is more him than Leonard Fournette. Fournette's still there, so he might snake a touchdown here or there. He's going to catch more passes than White. But I think Rashad White's the more effective runner right now for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Totally with you. And they're going to rotate in that backfield, and if Brady starts to feel it offensively, all those guys are going to play a role.
A couple of wide receivers. Let's go with Darius Slayton of the New York Giants. Ooh. His play time has been going up. And Wandale Robinson went down out for the season. He had sort of emerged as their number one guy. And so I think Darius Slayton's going to get that much more of an opportunity. So add Darius Slayton if you can. And another one, rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks. It's been kind of a nothing season. He missed a handful of games due to injury in the middle of the year. He's been back the last 2 weeks. This past Sunday, he had his best game of the season. 7 catches for 111 yards. He was targeted 8 times. Now that they have Ryan Tannehill back in Tennessee, they at least will throw the ball down the field more so than they did with Willis. So Treylon Burks, maybe he's a guy who has figured it out a little bit. They don't have a ton of receiving options there in Tennessee. So Treylon Burks could be a good ad as well if you're looking for a wide receiver.
And the Titans play the Bengals this week. So the Titans might actually have to try to score points to win.
And the update in the Gresh Keefe Fantasy Football League, your division leaders right now, actually both divisions have two teams at 7-4 on both sides. So you have Andy Hart, really Andy Hart's son. And then you have Chris Scheim's squad are both 7-4.
Wow.
That's in the Gresh division. In the Keefe division, Lou Merlone and Davey Eyeballs, Ryan Davey, are both 7-4. So those teams are looking pretty good. Of course, you and I, not as hot.
No, although I did beat Hart, so I knocked him down a peg a little bit.
That's a big win for you.
Yep.
I am 4th in points, but 9th record-wise. So it's one of those where it's like, screw off.
Yeah.
I like my team, and I just lose every single week.
At least I got 3 wins. Like, I'm not going to be a one-win team or anything, but yeah.
A lot's still on the line.
We're pretty much out of it.
3 weeks to go. Yeah, I need to win out and get help. But
yep. I just want to be a spoiler. Yep. That's all I want to do. I want to ruin someone's chance to make the playoffs. That would make me feel good.
You might have cost Hart the division this week, so maybe that's you at least take that.
Well, there is
potentially.
I'd like to cost someone a playoff spot, though, considering the gorgeous championship belt that goes to the winner of the Gresh and Keefe Fantasy League.
Davey told me how badly he wants that.
I know he does. Which doesn't that really make you want him to not get it because he wants it so bad?
You don't want anybody to win. Except for yourself.
I don't know.
Are you rooting for anybody else in the league?
I don't know. No. I might. Depending on who's
Dice?
Because it's his last year in the league, so I might as well make him feel good.
That's true. The Week 12 game of the week, by the way, would be Andy Hart versus Ryan Davey. That is coming. That is a that's a heavyweight bout coming
Let's get this bread.
Yep. Hart will be crying after that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll
that's fantastic.
We got that
like
one circled on the old schedule.
Are John and Billy scheduled to make the playoffs?
Let's.
I mean, I'm 4-7, put up 130 and lost this week to friggin' Merlone. I think I'd have to win out and then maybe potentially also get help. Seven and seven might make it, but I think there might be some tiebreakers.
Yeah, tell me at least one of us. Billy, you need a miracle too?
Yeah, I think my team's pretty much
out. Oh, sweet Jeebus.
And it's 7-7 with a ton of points. But yeah, the playoff teams right now are Lou, Andy Hart, Dice, Scheim, Davey, and Dylon. I know all four of us are out.
I know. It's like our show, our league. Yeah. We got the belt.
Josh Allen to have a nice run so that, because him alone is why Billy had all those wins anyway.
That's
so.
A good point.
You know who else is out of it for
that's
what would
not
be
an insult? Relax.
Look at my running backs.
Right. You know who else?
Billy's in the, like, you, Keith. Well, I really
look
at my team.
I love my team.
I love my team.
You know who?
Solid QBs, solid obbies.
You're not on. This isn't an. I'm not taking a shot at you. You're not on the field.
Arby's is very solid.
You know,
when he said runner, that's what it sounded like. Solid obbies.
And that's all about value. You know what I mean? That's good value there.
Never had it.
Because I'm all about value.
What?
I've never been to one.
I'm not a big roast beef guy myself.
Road trip.
If you like roast beef, that's a place for it.
Well, they have other stuff, too. They have chicken.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they have turkey that they cut right off.
They have the meats.
Yeah, they do have the meats.
Plural.
In case you haven't
heard.
They
do have the meats. No, that's fair. That is fair.
Meat sweats.
But you know who's about to miss the playoffs for the second straight year in the Gresh and Keefe League?
Who's that?
Adam Rank. NFL Network's Adam Rank.
Do we have to consider
I think he has a lifetime membership. He's in. But he's 6-5, but does not have a ton of points, so something to keep an eye on.
The 413 who we met, who hates
not
Sean.
Not great.
Said,
no, it's not.
Mr. 413 coming for next year's fantasy league. Well, that's if we let you.
Yeah, we'll see. Bottom four.
You can have my spot.
Bottom four and
you're in.
The fewest points. John has the fewest points. Gresh has the second fewest. Mm-hmm. Adam Rank third. Chris Scheim, despite that fancy record, has the fourth fewest points.
Man, oh man.
Uh-huh.
It's been a weird fantasy year, too.
It has. Oh, yeah, for sure it has.
Yep, and it will continue. So there are your waiver wire ads to help you in your season-long fantasy league. Into the final hour, who are the Minnesota Vikings?
Who?
We find out next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.